May the words that I speak and the words that you hear be understood by us both and be blessed by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to begin with just some reflections on Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 is one of the great poems in a book of Psalms or in a psaltery. It was written by David and addressed to the choir master in the temple. It's addressed to the choir master so that the words of this magnificent poem could be set to music. Or can we see it as David addressing it to God, the majestic creator of the world, to bring a creative musical harmony to it? This psalm is in three parts. The first part is the glory of creation, the heavens and the firmament in verses 1 and 6. Second part is the glory of the law or the Torah in verses 7 to 10. And then the glory of God in his servant in verses 11 to 14. And verse 14 is a concluding prayer to the psalm. And the petition is that the message of this psalm may be pleasing to God. So preachers will recite that before their sermon, that the message may be pleasing to the hearer and to God. For a number of years, with the work of Indigenous ministry, not only domestically but internationally, it's taken me to many places. I don't know how many times I've been across Canada back and forth. And when you're in a plane and you're above the clouds, and when you look out, if you happen to be sitting by a window seat, that clear blue sky that just goes on forever and ever. And I imagine in my mind that beyond the blue, there's a universe that goes on forever. So there's that thought. And then there was a morning coming out of Montreal and coming back home. It was still nighttime when we left the airport. And as we're cruising back home, and I happen to have a window seat, and to see the sun, you know, coming out of the horizon was another sight for me to behold. And so David in the psalm says, "The heavens declare the beauty of the blue sky and the night sky." And David is looking up to the blue sky and sees this majestic creativeness of God, and looking up to the night sky, seeing the stars, the Milky Way, the galaxies, David realizes that even the night sky, the darkness, reveals knowledge. There is something great out there in the great heavens. And although they have no voice or language, the voices of the heavens and the firmament are not heard, but their sound and their message goes out to the ends of the earth. And he sees the night sky, that it is like a tabernacle or a tent that the sun goes into during the evening, and the sun stays inside this tabernacle or this tent. And as the morning rises from the uttermost edge of the heavens, the sun comes out of his tabernacle to begin a new day. David sees nature's witness of God, his creativeness, and nature's speech imparts. The Hebrew says nature's speech utters, and what that word in the Hebrew means, that it just gushes forth, you know, unrestrained. It imparts praises for God. Some do not see the beauty of the world created by a loving God. And in Romans, Paul writes, God is plain to them, to humanity. Since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse. What does David say about the glory of the law? It is perfect and revives the soul. More to be desired than gold and sweeter than honey. The humble response of the servant is that the glory of God, the law, enlightens the servant of the Lord. And then the psalm ends with this prayer: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19 is a majestic witness of the glory of God in nature, in the law, and in his humble servant. Now, let's speak about June the 21st. In the immensity of all the things that happen in God's universe, June the 21st is the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. In our solar system, the Earth is at its farthest distance from the sun. And its axis, the North Pole, is tilted towards the sun, which gives us our extended daylight during the summer season. The Arctic has a 24 hours of daylight. On June the 21st, we will have 16 hours, 16 minutes of daylight in Fort McLeod. And just some trivia, the Earth's rotation on its axis is 100 miles per hour. And its speed as it orbits the sun is 6,700 miles per hour. It's amazing. You wonder why we don't just fall off the face of the earth, but God has it all together. As our planet, Mother Earth, moves through space, the spring and summer season are about newness during this particular time. It's about newness. It's about growth. And it's about a harvest. In the big picture, new beginnings stir something within us. It kindles a warmth in our souls and in our hearts. In the prologue of John's Gospel, appointed for this National Indigenous Day of Prayer service, we hear, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The previous Sundays, we have been engaging the story of God and God's people as told in the scriptures. Today, we are gathered virtually as the people of God, and we hear John's stories of God's love, who has come down to us in the flesh, in the mystery of the incarnation, and has pitched his tent amongst humanity. In Mark's gospel, we meet Jesus as a young man, fresh out of the desert, on the banks of the Jordan River, being baptized by John and commissioned by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit to the ministry of proclaiming the gospel. In Matthew and Luke, the birth of Jesus is announced by an angel. The birth of Jesus is extraordinary. The incarnation of God comes into the world as a tiny, helpless, vulnerable baby. However, John goes back even further than human beginnings, back to the very beginning of time, dimension, and space. John goes back to the beginning of the entire creation. John's prologue sounds very much like the book of Genesis. Moses says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." John makes a deliberate connection to the account of creation as if to evoke our memory of this story of creation in Genesis. The prologue, this majestic anthem that opens the gospel according to St. John, sets the stage for a whole new order of life forged in the beginning of creation, with the presence of the Word now made flesh among us, Jesus, full of grace and truth. From time to time, like David, we get a glimpse of what God is doing amongst us. From time to time, the light shines so brightly in the darkness that absolutely nothing can diminish or quench that marvelous light. From time to time, we feel a surging, an outpouring of joy in our hearts, and times we don't even know where it comes from. We are surprised by these glimpses of God's glory. The holy days in our liturgies and the scriptures call us to celebrate, reorder, rearrange and perhaps reframe our lives so that we can live differently. Not because it's a time of transition into the season of Pentecost or ordinary time, but because Jesus pitched his tent among us. He came to live among us to show us the way to his Father. Today, we are living in a most unprecedented moment, a time of behavioral modification, a time of social distancing, and a time of isolation as a way of deterring the transmission of COVID-19. These precautionary behavioral modifications are a method of protecting not only our own health, but also of our neighbor and those near and dear to us. At this most peculiar time of a world pandemic, many have died. Many of the things we rely on are in peril. In the midst of the turmoil of fear and uncertainty, in a time of social and spiritual unrest, our Lord, as he promised since the beginning, still stands among us to the end of this age. God has entered our hearts with the light of his love that cannot be extinguished. God offers us a guide to faith and salvation that no economic, social collapse or prosperity cannot diminish. God takes our uncertainty and our failures and redeems them with new insight and a new beginning. If the light truly shines in the darkness, why are we living in such a dark time? We recall with shock and grief the 215 children at Kamloops and the 104 children at Brandon who never got to go home. We remember St. John Anglican Church, Six Nations, that was torched by an arsonist, and I suppose as a reaction to those unnamed graves that were recently discovered. But in that darkness comes the light of the world made flesh. Within any darkness, there can always be found the seeds of light. As I ponder this question, why are we living in such a dark time? John answers our question. He begins his prologue with these words: "In the beginning was the Word. The Word spoke, and order came out of chaos. In the beginning, God gazed upon his creation, and God saw that it was good." In Isaiah, God, in the midst of all the circumstances of life, gives an invitation to the abundant life to a forlorn people. He says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. In John's gospel, we forget the ordinary and we are lifted up to the peace, safety, love, and security of God, who created us in joy. An ending is not always the end, but the beginning of a new thing. In the beginning was the Word. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just give me a moment. When this pandemic comes to pass, there will be a new beginning, a time to go to work, a time to act like the gifted people God created us to be, a time to be about God's business in our churches, communities, and families, a time for ministry that will rise again, committed to redemption, ministry, reconciliation that brings graciousness to the lives of all people. Since the beginning, that is what God has done for us. We will see again the Word made flesh, scattering the darkness before our paths and empowering us with charity and generosity to give light to others. This National Indigenous Day of Prayer reaffirms our church's intentions to addressing the work of reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. This work is a long journey. Much remains to be done, much to hear, much to feel, much to change. We pray for the Spirit's guidance on new beginnings. This new beginning will be God's affirmation of humanity's goodness. It will be the sharing and exchanging of life between God, you, and me. It is an opportunity for the grace of God to be revealed through us. This happens not by blood or by the will of the flesh, but by God and the Word made flesh. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard, and the peace of God will be with you. Amen.